And your married name?
Okay. Marjorie Howell Parker.
Uh-huh. And you were born when?
October the 27th, 1918.
And where?
In the old Imbler home in Imbler. Its original home. Uh-huh. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you grew up in Elmer, in Imbler, and went to school in Imbler.
Yes, yeah.
What do you remember about your early days going to school in Imbler?
Well, the first grade, I think, there was snow drifts over the fences. And I cried because my hands are cold. And we stopped at Krauser's, who was the next house up, and warmed my hands. We stopped at the store. And my dad took us. Uh-huh. And then later, when he could, he'd take us in the sled. It was just a flatbed with the sleds on the bottom, if it was real bad. But we did a lot of walking. It was a mile over the railroad track.
Yeah. Well, in growing up in Imbler, what were the things that you remember in your grade school days?
Well, I was one of the smallest in the first grade. And I think by the third grade, I started getting pretty chubby. And I thought being chubby, I was chubbier than all the other girls, and I remember that. And one of my favorite teachers was Miss Nielsen in the fifth grade. And do I tell names? I put names?
Yeah.
Okay. Chase Lyle Krauser and Chase McCoy were naughty. I don't know what they did. Miss Nielsen, they wore overalls. And she took them in the cloakroom and hung them. And every time I see Chase, I mention it to him. And I said, "Do you remember?" And he said, "I sure do." And then she cried. Oh. She was so. And I just saw him at the Imbler reunion. And he said he loved her. And she bawled me out a few times. But we just adored her.
Oftentimes, that's the best teacher.
Yeah, but she's the outstanding one. And then about the eighth grade, Morris or Maurice Wise was our teacher. And he had one leg taken off. And we went to Cove Swimming Pool, and he took that leg off and just swam like everything. And he started a ukulele band. And I think there was five or six of us girls that learned to play the ukulele. And we went over to when they had basketball games and stuff. And the union, I remember a tournament we went and we played here and there. But those are in the grade school, outstanding things.
And then you went on to high school?
High school was just upstairs. Uh-huh. And I was scared to death. Because I'd never been upstairs. I guess the only time you went if you was called up to the principal's office. But
did you have any particular good friends while you were going to high school?
Well, there was a group that we'd gone clear through grade school, and we were good friends. But I never dated in high school. But we went to dances. My folks. Saturday night, we went into LeGrand. The boys played in Dick Lindsay band, mm-hmm. And they bought groceries, and Dad would go to a show, and we'd wait in the lobby of the Sac Hotel, mm-hmm. And till the dance started, and then Mom would sit up in the balcony, and I danced, and that's where I met Walt was there. Uh-huh. And that was a wonderful time. That was so much
fun. I forgot to ask you, how many were in your family?
Just Bill, my younger brother. He's 9 years younger, and then Dick was 2 years older.
I didn't know Dick.
You didn't know him.
I knew Bill, of course, for him playing music at the Zuber Hall and dances.
Yeah, he started so young. But the dancing part, I want to say, that little Mormon church in Imbler was where I first went to dances. And, it was, my mom always went with us. And you'd have pie socials and potlucks. And then we'd walk home that mile. You know, we never, Dick and I never drove the car because, well, probably couldn't afford it, and that's why we made a family night on Saturday night.
So, well, you know, that's the advantage of a small community.
Yes.
Everybody knew everybody, and they, every holiday was at the school, all the activities. Is that
yeah.
the way it was?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And but Mom always went to the dances with us and stuff, and Dad though liked the basketball games, so he took us to the basketball games.
Well, is there any outstanding thing that happened during high school that you remember?
Well,
more than others.
The only thing that for me that was, I think most kids go through in English class having to get up in front of people, and I'd just be terrified. Well, they had declamation contests at that time, and through the English class, we had to pick either humorous or non-humorous and give it. Well, I learned a humorous one. And lo and behold, I went clear to the college, and I won the county, I guess. I got a little medal in there that showed. But I can remember going completely blank, and but it came back, you know. But it was, and then I cried. It was all over. I mean, but I did win that. That was outstanding. And and then we had some school dances too, that not very many that I remember.
Was there any disappointments that you had during those years?
Not particularly for me. I felt I had a good life, and of course it was depression, and Mom made all my clothes and everything. But when we were seniors, there was two girls that were really for valedictorian, and one was my special friend. Well, they were, the other was too, but they started a rumor about her that she cheated. And she didn't, and I don't remember just how it all came out, but I stood in that line that graduation night crying because they'd had all this trouble,
yeah.
And it was too bad because there wasn't, I'm not sure how many was in our class, maybe 12. There was, you know, it was small, very
small.
Small, a lot smaller than it is now, yeah.
Well then, what things did you like to play when you were young, in times that you played games or things that you like to do, read?
Oh my goodness, probably we played a little kick the can and some of those kind of things. There was lots of music in our home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember little what we played or too much, but the Wessonsco boys, there was four boys that worked for us in the summer, and they were all musical. And well, I can't, Melvin, everybody probably remembers, Melvin was the oldest. I don't think that he played music, but there was Clifford and Pete and Lester.
And Lester.
And Lester and I grew up like brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
Because his family run the garden because my mother was cooking three meals a day for the hay crew, and she didn't have time. And I have memories of Lester's folks and the little kids out in the yard dividing. Mom had lots of berries and the vegetables and sitting there dividing it up. And
they kind of share crops.
They did the garden. Uh-huh. And one time, Lester and I must have put on the boys' jeans because girls didn't have jeans in those days. And we went over to Slough, which I think maybe half a mile. It was on our land. You crossed the Grand Round River and then walked over to the Slough. And there was carp in that slough. And Lester took a pitchfork and a gunny sack. And he waded out in that slough. And he he'd stab the carp and he'd throw them to me, and I'd grab them like this. My daughter says she can't believe I did anything that dirty, you know. And we laughed all the way. And he took that sack home to his mother, and she canned carp. Canned carp. And, you know, it was.
I always heard they were very bony.
Well, the bones were soft.
Oh.
That's what I understood, that they were soft enough when they were cooked. Now that might be wrong.
Well, salmon bones are soft.
She, you know, it was hard times.
Yes.
And in Christmas, let's see, I think it was about 8 children there, but we exchanged Christmas dinners. Mm-hmm. And Lester's mother, Maddie, said she fed her children before they came. Because there were so many of them, the four older boys worked for us, and they just run me ragged, getting them water and at noon, you know, but a lot of fun times they had. The younger guys had water fights during the noon hour.
But people helped other people.
Oh,
it was a good time, even though it was depression time.
Oh yes, and of course the good old days. a lot of it I'd like to go back to. Things have changed so much.
Well,
and we didn't know it was rough. We didn't know any different.
Well, being on the farm, that was an advantage.
Well, I never was hungry. My goodness, no. We had always raised. I can remember Dad making the ham. I didn't like the ham very well, but he put it out in the woodshed, I guess, and hang it or something. I think it was
smoke it.
And Mom canned the deer meat. Now, I didn't care a lot for deer meat, but Mom canned the deer meat, and it was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, and we'd set.
Then you probably had a cow.
Oh, we had. Daddy had Holsteins.
Mm-hmm.
And before he could get a milking machine and afford them, it seems like there was about 25, but I might be mistaken on that. Why, my older brother couldn't take the sports because he had to come home and help Dad milk. Well, by the time Bill came along, why, they had the milking machine, and Bill was very active in sports and everything, whereas my older brother didn't get to. Dick passed away in 76. He wasn't very well. I guess maybe he had scarlet fever when he was little.
Yeah. I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he played the clarinet and the sax.
Uh-huh.
Mom was so, wanted us to have music so bad that he had a correspondence course.
Oh.
And he got some free lessons. I believe her name was Mrs. Robinson. I'm not sure. Through this. But Mom had enough music that she could help him with the correspondent course. And then he had to fill out questionnaires and then they correct him, send them back. And guess what? I had to take the second-handed ones and learn to play. but I learned the piano and the keys and that. And when I was in high school, then Dad said, well, we can afford you to take, what kind of lessons do you want to take? And I decided I wanted a guitar. Now, I don't know why. And guess who was my teacher? Lauren Blanchard.
Oh.
And he was down in Kisses. And Mom and, we'd come in and give lessons. And then he moved to a one-room apartment. One room, had a dresser and a bed and a chair. And he said, now, Mrs. Howell, I want you to come with Margie so there won't be any talk. And so that finished up, and I got so I could chord, and he'd say, well, can you stay a little longer? And he'd play the banjo, and I could chord to it.
Uh-huh.
And I just really loved it till I got married and had children. I couldn't. You have to keep your fingers toughened up to do it.
I can appreciate it. Yeah. I never played. My youngest son does. But.
Uh-huh.
When you graduated from high school, then what was your first job?
Well, I went to Draper's School of Commerce.
Oh.
And which was up above Lawrence's Jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a job at at the Observer.
And what year was that?
Let's see. I graduated in 1936. In the spring, and that fall I went, and I spent the 9 months, 37. I can't remember just when whether it was late 37 or early 38.
Well, in that commercial of LeGrand,
yeah.
You said that was one of your first days at the Observer?
Well, I don't know if it was the first day. I know that I remember taking it. I kind of remember more than it was a dress my mother had made, and it was kind of a boil or wispy. I just kind of remember that, but I don't know that it was the first day.
Uh-huh.
But it was while I worked.
And what
there.
Was your wages at that time?
I don't remember. I know it was enough that I wanted to eat out. And
Where did you like to eat?
What they call it, top, across from the Sacagawea. What was that little restaurant? Seems like it was the top. That isn't quite right. Wimby's was over here. That was a bar.
Right.
And then there was this restaurant.
The board had one later, but I'm not sure early.
No, he was, that was later.
Well, Charlie Carther had a number of restaurants.
Well, that was down on Adams, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Nook, no.
We had the Fountain.
And then the Lavender Lunch was on.
And then the Shakeswood Shop.
Was that on Fur?
That was on Fur, right behind where Zimmerman's were later.
Yeah, okay, But this one was just right there by Wimby's, and I went there mostly.
Yeah. When did you and Walt start dating?
I was living clear out across from the highway shops. And, Rosalind Knight was her maiden name. And I batched in a one-room place with a kitchen stove and a bed, I think, that the people's names was Rhodes, and they had lived in Imler. And so we stayed in town, and we batched there. Well, I had met Walt at the Zuber, and he wanted a date. And so my mother said, he's much younger than you. And I wasn't going to go with somebody younger. And found out he was 2.5 months younger, but that was all right. I didn't. So he asked for a date, and I was living out that far. And I'm like this, I pray he's got a car, because I was wearing heels like that, high heels. Well, of course, he didn't have a car. And we walked all the way to the movies and all the
that
way.
That was a long way.
Yes. And then he didn't go out, we didn't go out and eat. And I thought, they take you out to eat after you go to the show. And all the way home he says, well, I spent all my money on the show, didn't have enough to go out and eat. Well, that endeared him to me that he acknowledged it, you know. But that was, in 38.
Uh-huh.
And we went together about 5 months, and we broke up because wasn't sure. And I won't go into detail, but anyway, I knew then I did care about him, and I just suffered till we got back together again.
And then when were you married?
In October the 29th, I was just 21. And
what year?
1939. And I wanted to, there was a fellow that worked for Dad. His name was Frank Brown. And he'd never married. And he said he'd give me a horse if I'd wait till I was 21 and I'd have better sense than to get married. But he came through years and years later. He gave me a horse, but of course Dad had it out there. But that wasn't the main reason, but we always laughed and said, Walt said, well, I wanted to be 21, so we get that horse. But we never had it ever. But that was kind of a fun thing.
And when you were married, then what was Walt doing at that time?
He was apprenticeship for Melville's. He started in high school, and he would have never had a chance to go to college or anything. And I can't remember the teacher that got, at that time they had this work deal, and he went out for football. And the coach says, who was the teacher that did it, he said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I come to play football. And he said, you go back to the job that I got you. And so he was still, and he was making, I think it was $70 or $75 a month when we got married. And we bought a little house on M, and Walt had 10 cents in his pocket. And he got, his stepdad signed for him, I think it was $100 down payment, and the house and lot was $1,000.
I can appreciate.
Yeah, just off of M and Cedar, I think. There was a ditch ran through there that they filled in later.
Yeah, people don't realize how hard it was during those times.
Well, we didn't know how, you know, until he lost, both Melville brothers went to the shipyards.
Oh.
Walt was without work, and I was pregnant and sick. And by golly, we had to load up and get out of here in the middle of the winter to get work. His brother was living in Portland, and we went there in the... One day it was too bad a blizzard to even leave, and we left the next day, and there was cars in the ditches, but we got through. And they went to the union, and he was only off work 3 days, and they'd send him out daily. And
his experience with Melville's really paid off.
Well, and he was good in that type, what they call drawings in high school.
Mechanical drawings.
Mechanical drawings. Mm-hmm. And he was very good at that. And, of course, he had to do a lot of that adapting the metal when he came back here.
Then when was Walt drafted?
1943, let's see. I was expecting Laddie. We bought a little place in Portland. Finally, when we got settled, we were in Kelso for a while, so a few months. And then he went to Texas, and he got home on a 10-day leave. It was 1944. And he got a 10-day leave, and Laddie was born in October of 44, and he saw him. And then he was gone, they sent him right out to Germany, and he didn't get back. In fact, he was gone 16 months, but when he came home, he had 2 months of leave, he was on leave, and that counted. But we held our breath until he got discharged because they were sending so many to the Asian
place.
Well,
during that time that Walt was in the service, did you live in Portland?
We bought a little house it was $1,900, and it was such bad shape. Walt said, what do you take off for the shape it's in? And they took $100 off. But he had time. He papered and I painted, and we didn't do a lot of remodeling, but it was clean and it was a sweet little house. And we didn't have a lot of furniture, and he had a second cousin around the corner that loaned us furniture, and eventually we got furniture, and that was before, I don't know if I had a date that we left here. It was in 41, I guess. Patty was born in April of 41. No, it was 40 when we left here. So he had time to do those things before he went in the service.
And while he was in the service, you took care of children.
Well, George McClure was Walt's best friend, and he married Bethel.
Yes.
And so we were just like that. And they'd come and spend weekends. They lived at Oregon City, mm-hmm. and they'd spend weekends, and they just adored Patty. And so George went in the service. First, I think he was in the Navy. And then, anyway, Bethel and I lived together, mm-hmm. and she had Carol, the oldest girl. But I was so sick with being pregnant with Laddie that she kind of had to take over. And she was like a sister that I never had. And we lived together.
Well, that's when friends really meant something.
Yeah. But we'd been close, through the years because of being... Walt and George being best friends, and we just...
And you spent a lot of time writing letters to Walt while he was in the service?
Yeah, but I wasn't hearing from him, and my mother sent a letter to Red Cross, I think, or something, and of course they got a hold of his, whoever the powers would be, and he wrote, he says, don't ever do that again, they must have chewed him out, but he was writing. Uh-huh. He was writing, but it wasn't getting
they
through.
They were censoring their mail during the time.
It just wasn't coming through, and then I gets a bunch, you know. Uh-huh. But, the email. And then when he got back, we hit up here on the train, and, we'd sold our car, because I wasn't driving. Uh-huh. And... We went off the farm, did we? We were looking, we wanted to come home, and he wanted to open the sheet metal shop. And somebody had moved in, there was no place downtown at all. I think it was Craig's had come down there, and Lyons, anyway, we ended up buying this place, and there was a one or two car garage out there that was really old, mm-hmm. and he started in out there that first winter. Well, you couldn't get metal, and it was too cold. But the first job he got of roofing, and he could get the metal out of Delgin, something, a metal roof, and he put on, and oh my goodness, that was the height of it. But we were on rocking chair money. Whatever, it wasn't very much from the service for a year, and that's what we
$52, as I recall.
What we lived on, and but the little house in Portland, we sold for, seems like around $5,750, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, that's robbery, because we only paid and then we bought, this was almost 2 acres uh-huh. that we bought for the same price.
Well, and that was neat.
And we got we borrowed the down payment from his dad, but we paid it right back as soon as we got the money from our house in Portland. We paid it right back. So, but we kept some of the money out to get started.
Well,
and but I wanted to say too, this was a Parker, no relation. A Parker Dairy in years past.
Oh.
And this place was a milk house. Uh-huh. And it was about 2 stories high. And Walt tore all that down because it was deteriorated. But the cement is still out there. And then he built that little place where the fireplace is out uh-huh. there. But it's getting kind of old now. I've been here 56 years.
Well, that's quite a while.
Yeah.
Besides Walt doing sheet metal, he got in that glider plane.
Oh, wasn't that awful? 1959. Patty was graduating. There was the junior-senior dance that mm-hmm. night. I had worked so hard to make her dress that I insisted she go. And she'd asked Kenny Blanchard, she wasn't going with anybody, uh-huh. and we were just good friends. And of course, Kenny was up at the hospital with me, because when he went down, Lauren was pulling him, you know. You probably know all.
No, I didn't know that Lauren.
Lauren was towing him.
Uh-huh.
And let's see.
So that they would know, they pulled the glider behind a car, until it got in the air, and
yeah, you
it
had
was
to
supposed
get it.
To disconnect.
Well,
but it didn't
and
do
the,
that.
They worked the toe. I don't know if it was the first time where the car would go this way and pull it up so the car, guy in the car could see,
uh-huh.
And but it didn't release.
And
yeah.
It pulled him right into the ground.
Yeah. And but he had safety belts all around, uh-huh. And it just that one leg, the ankle was just demolished. I mean,
shattered, you might say.
And the hip or thigh bone and his ribs were broken, and cracked pelvis, and the other. Heel was broken, and but Walt didn't give up on many things.
No. When I come down to see him, he was in a complete body cast, from his heels right up to his neck.
Oh, he was four and a half months. That they put him in a body cast after he was on the wheelchair and that leg fell off, and thigh bone. Instead of the doctor operating again, he just put him in that body cast for four and a half months. Then it started to fill for 5 months.
In Walla Walla?
Mm-hmm, in Walla Walla. Because that osteomyelitis, he almost lost his leg. And the doctor here knew that he hadn't done what he should have done.
Well.
And So we won't go in.
That's why they call them practicing physicians.
Yeah.
They're still practicing.
It was bad, but he didn't let it get him down. And 6 years later, he had plans to build airplanes. Mm-hmm. And that was devastating, because I never thought he'd go back to it. And so he built, a hot little number, I remember. He knew how to fly it, but then he went, this little one, the gas gauge showed it had gas in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got over Elgin and run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And he flipped over in a muddy field, didn't hurt him, but even his billfold had mud in it.
Oh, boy.
And I said, maybe somebody up there's telling you something. Well, yeah, but didn't stop him. And then he and Roy Meteor rebuilt the plane.
Uh-huh.
And then his lungs got bad, and he wasn't supposed to be flying. I think he did. People said they saw him. I said, he better not be, and what I knew he was. And finally, he sold his share out to Roy. But that was, he loved it, and it was in his blood, and I think all flyers are more or less that way if they're really get into it.
I think so. What did you keep busy doing? Patty was pretty well going, and Laddie was...
Well, I wouldn't fly.
Uh-huh.
And so we were up at the lake, and had a lot of company, and he was taking everybody flying around, you know.
He had a cabin at Walla
Walla. We built... Well, in 19... 54.
Uh-huh.
That's another story. But anyway, I thought, well, if they're trusting him to do that, I'm going to be a bitter old lady. The kids are gone, and I better start flying with him. And it was just a little old puddle jumper. And we flew to, down on the coast, we flew to, in California, the desert, I can't say it.
Palm Desert?
No, it wasn't Palm Desert, but they had the hotel up on the hill, and a golf course down below, and also a motel down below, and it was one of the lowest spots. I can't say the name, but anyway, and we flew there. I think we stayed all night along the way, someplace. So I flew, and then when he decided to sell it, and he was building this with Roy, I said, now I've done it. I've been there. I don't want to fly anymore, so don't worry about it. It was a two-seat. I can't tell you the name of it either. I used to know the names these days, but I've forgotten. But the cabin, we didn't have money for a cabin, and it's always been a dream of ours. And Walt sold his chainsaw to young George Ambrose.
Uh-huh.
And in turn, George had bought logs, half logs, to start a house, and he decided he didn't want to build that. And that was what Walt traded for.
Oh.
Then George loaned him the chainsaw to work on his cabin. And we spent every weekend that year we started and cooking over a bonfire. And there were some trees that we could get under. And we'd get wet and cold, and we'd go into the movies to dry out. And believe me, those people dressed up, and here we were just like Indians, you know. But a lot of friends came, and we'd potluck mostly. And I'd learned, I was very active in Girl Scouts, and I'd learned a few tricks of bonfire cooking. And finally I said to Walt, you've got to fix me a table and a bench. It was just doing it so rough. And finally he throwed something together, and we used that for years, and it was just a impromptu thing. But yeah, we had all wonderful memories of. He was happier when he was building, mm-hmm. when he was doing something. And we bought a lease. Let's see, I think the lease, 99-year lease, was $150. When we bought it, it was $300. Uh-huh. That was where the cabin was. The next one on the west was $750. We thought, well, the way they're moving in here, we better get it. The next one to the east that we got was $1,300. Now,
kept going up.
Well, I think they're probably $10,000 now.
I don't know. Didn't the Grahams have a cabin close to yours?
Well, Powell Grahams had one uh-huh. on the east across the creek from us. Mm-hmm. And then Leo and Lee built on the west after uh-huh. we were there. So, but they're not related. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, Lee and Leo went to high school with me. So
oh, did they?
My
yeah.
very good friends.
Yeah.
And Jim Everson's cabin was just...
yeah, he was across the road, Canny uh-huh. Wampus. And he was in Draper's when I was.
Uh-huh.
So he was a good friend. And didn't sound very well, I guess.
No, he isn't. They're really good friends.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad, this old age of getting something, but we all have to go through it.
So a lot of your time was spent up at Willow Lake when you had leisure
yes.
time.
Oh, and well, and, we just leave here. If he hadn't, he'd have been working all weekend, uh-huh. and that was our salvation. He'd go up there and work, but it was different. I would be kind of uptight, getting everything ready and getting the food ready and everything, and just as I would like about getting out of Elgin, I just could feel that leveling off. Mm-hmm. And we had so many good memories up there. But
and your daughter grew up to be the county assessor now.
yeah. Well, she was a fair maid in 1958, and I got involved with them. Because she was a fair maid. She played the accordion real mm-hmm. well, and that was her talent. And I was taking girls all over, and I stayed in that with the DeLongs for 9 or 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But up to that time, I had worked in Girl Scouts from the time she was a brownie, and we'd go up to Anthony Lakes, and
uh-huh.
I enjoyed that, but I spent quite a few years in that. But, no, I thought maybe this was going to be more history of Embler and stuff, not just for me. But
anything that you want to tell about Embler would be fine.
Well, when I probably was about 4 or 5, the old grain elevator burned. That was outstanding in my life. We stood up on the hill where the Bingaman place is. You know, you just turn off the main highway and there. I remember on that hill and watched it burn.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but about what Ember used to be is on this other tape.
Yeah. Well, they used to do a lot of fruit packing in Ember.
Oh, just for us, yes. The Gales, and I don't know if, what Gales it was from. They had a place there in Ember, and I wasn't working at the Observer, and I was going to get married in the fall, so I packed cherries.
Uh-huh.
And that belt, the belt went by, and he was stationed here. And I said to Donna Watson was her maiden name, I said, is it getting awful warm in here? And she said, no. And the next thing I knew, I woke up. I passed out from that, evidently from that belt.
Movement.
Yeah, but I earned enough money for a cedar chest. I guess I thought that everybody should have a cedar chest.
So that was your hope chest.
Yeah.
Well, they used to ice cars there, ice after the fruit had been packed into the refrigerator cars, and they iced them from both ends.
Uh-huh.
And then the railroad would pull them out, ship them east.
Uh-huh. Now, how old are you?
75.
No. You're Bill's age then. Uh-huh. Well, Bill be. August is his birthday.
But, I always knew Bill, you know, because of the dance bands and what have you.
Yeah.
Even though he's from Embler, well, this whole community, everyone knew everybody else.
Yeah, I still think I should know anything comes out about Embler, and I don't. Yeah. Well, did you ever dance, or did you ever hear him play at the zoo?
Oh, yes.
You did?
When we were kids, you had to go. That's why we
wasn't knew. That wonderful? And it was, Buell run it straight. I mean, it was a good, clean place to go.
But you can't hardly find a dance anymore.
Well, the senior center was having good dances.
Yes,
and I hope they'll go back to it. They kind of lost it because of canned music, I think. And I think they're going to have live music. Maybe it'll get back again. So I can't think. You'd probably ask me every question there is.
Well, I haven't asked you everything, but what do you think about the changes of the Grand Mountain Valley over your lifetime here?
Well, up to now, it's been, well, a few years back, been fine. Walt and I would have liked to kept it, and maybe this is just because I'm old, kept it kind of a downtown, have a lot of things downtown like it used to be.
Yeah.
I'm very against Walmart coming in, the big one.
Uh-huh.
Because if I went, of course now it's different than when I drove. But I would get lost, and I wouldn't enjoy that big a thing, and it's going to wreck what little we got left downtown.
It's sprawling. With Safeway moving.
Yeah. But, I like it the way it was.
Well,
everything has to change.
And Trotters and all those places you used to shop.
I said, with me, I shop quite a bit of Penny's, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the only drugstore, Red Cross, of course. I'm a pink lady, and I get benefit with. I only have one prescription, in fact, that I get. So
you're lucky, Mark.
So yes, I know, and I can't. Somebody said the worst thing that can happen to you is losing your eyesight, and I said, oh no. If you're in pain all the time, I'm not in pain, and I have to adjust to this. and I'm very outgoing about, I try to get a person before they get away, who am I talking to, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if right or wrong, but that's the way I
yeah.
feel.
Well,
I need to know who I'm talking to. And some people you want to give a hug, or you know, and then you've just kind of said hello. And I tell them that. And
you recognize voices too.
Not as, I'm trying,
uh-huh.
you know, and sometimes a silhouette. Of coming in, like at the hospital, I can tell. The
well,
way
at church, you always recognize me.
Yeah. Well, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't though. I don't think I did in the beginning. I think I've learned to do. And Patty. And well, I've never known. I've known you better than Patty because of working
well,
hands.
Well. Walt used to let me work in his shop. You remember that? Years ago, when he was customer of Hanford Sales.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We were trying to build our house, and Walt let me come down and do some metal work that
oh,
in
he
the
did.
Shop.
Well, uh-huh. good. Well, a lot of people were out there that I didn't know, or they'd come to the door when mm-hmm. Walt wasn't home that I didn't remember. But one of the things that he stayed with Hanford was George.
Yes.
George would come.
Wasn't he a peach?
He would just visit with Walt and say, "Well, you want to make any changes? Let me know, or we've got this in." Yeah. And so Walt bought everything there.
Well,
and,
George had worked for Craig Brothers.
Yeah.
Up
well,
there
he,
when he first came to LeGrand.
We were one of the first people George came in, and they had a van type, a
uh-huh.
wooden panel type, and those three little kids, and they came here because of the sheet metal work.
Uh-huh.
And so we knew them from that time on, and Maxina and I are good friends, and we'd go out and see George when he was so sick.
Oh, yeah.
It was yeah. so bad.
And really hard on Maxine.
Yeah, but she came through it, and she's a sweet lady.
Yes.
And
then she lost two of the children.
Oh, what she's been through.
Yeah.
Jan was Patty's age.
Yeah.
And Jay was young.
Yes,
yeah.
when he had his heart attack.
But Terry, they'll come and get Maxine and take her and then
uh-huh.
bring her back.
Well, Terry is a pretty nice boy.
Mm-hmm. But I think, I think they all were.
Well, you know, Walt and I were both active in the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
The what?
The Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I had to laugh because he was vice president. And Ray Snyder said, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you, Walt. And Walt got up there and adjourned. he was not a leader in that respect. You know, he couldn't go on and be, he didn't go on and be president.
Oh, I remember him up there.
Yeah, yeah. He and George and Bethel and I, we just thought that was the thing to do as soon as we got home back here.
And Les Wessenskold was also
yeah.
your good friend.
Yeah, oh
was
yes.
in the VFW at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And but Walt kept going to meetings. Bethel and I quit. And I still belong. I still pay my dues.
Well, it's a nice organization. It's too bad they're all getting old. And
yeah. Now, do you go to the meetings?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm the adjutant.
Oh.
I write up the minutes of the meeting.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. I know Leora and Paul Nice still go, too.
Uh-huh.
They're friends of mine, or she's talking
yes.
about.
Paul was there last meeting night.
Well, yeah, she had surgery on her
uh-huh.
hip, but she's getting around now with a walker. We joined the American Legion, the VFW, all, you know, you're just patriotic and want to. And we belonged to the American Legion until, a few years maybe before
uh-huh.
Walt died, but we both stayed in the VFW. And I still.
Well, it's a nice town to live in.
Well, that's it, and it seems like it's just grown about as much.
Is there anything you'd do different if you had?
Do different. Well, my stepmother used to say, worry about she didn't do this with her son. Maybe she worked so hard and so forth and so on. I said, Dolly, I think we'd be the same person if we had it to do over. Maybe I used to make resolutions not to yell at my kids.
Every year,
and then I do it. But
well, maybe probably you might make worse mistakes if you had it to do over again.
Right, yes, if I had it to do over, I think I would back Walt to fly because that was trauma.
He really liked that.
And he just had to do it. He had to do it, and it wasn't what killed him. It was lung disease and all that, and maybe that would be something that I have told my son's stepdaughter. She was married a pilot, and he flew before she married. I said, honey, accept it, because I said, it's in their blood, and they're going to do it, and that, you know. I suppose that, you might make other mistakes if you had your life. But I've had a good life, and the farm life, growing up was wonderful. There was something that I thought about my grandmother. My dad and uncle had typhoid fever.
Oh.
And so Grandma prayed. She was very, very religious and was left a widow with three babies. My dad was the oldest. And she prayed for well and got an artesian well. Now that I've heard that story all my life, but God gave her that artesian well. And it ran all the time. You know. But the river being so close or something, maybe that got in the water. And so I went to visit Nell Steffens, who grew up with my dad.
She's 108.
Yeah, and she was about 102 when I went to see her. And I said, Daddy had a sister that died when she was six. And I said, well, I think she died with quinsy or something like that. And she said, oh, no, she didn't. Now, I don't remember what it was she died with that Nell told me. But her mind was good, and she said that.
It's still pretty sharp.
And, but my grandfather did die with quinsy, and that's a phlegm or sickening in the throat. They don't have that name anymore for it. But that was what he died with at a young age. But on this, he was 28, because we looked that up on the tombstone instead of 25. Now, do you edit this then?
Well, they will transcribe it and write it down so that some things they'll leave out.
Oh, yeah, because what we're... just now.
Well, I didn't know a lot about Ambler other than I worked out there one summer. You know, but it seemed like a nice little community.
Well,
the Ruckmans.
Ruckmans, yeah. Garnet and what was his name that had the nice house there in Ember? His folks owned it first, and I remember as a little girl going visiting her, and she was it was real heavy, and I don't know that she could walk very good. She was always sitting in the chair. And a big white apron, and I'd go visit her, a little girl.
What was the man that always had the cider on his front
porch there? Oh, Lyle Wilson.
Wasn't that the neatest thing?
Oh, and then they got so, you know, he couldn't sell it. Yeah, his daughter Nita was in my class, and she had store-bought clothes, and most of us had. And of course, Mama was so nice, but I thought that would be the height to start school every fall with store-bought clothes. And she was real pretty, sweetie. But Lyle had, and Clive Wilson had such a sense of humor. And Shirley Wilson was in Bill's class, and they said she had died. We just had our Ember reunion, and they said he had passed away. Yeah, he sold out until they said he had to purify it, I guess, or something, and they
let him all sell. The regulations.
Yeah.
But it was so good, and in the fall, you'd always stop by and take a gallon of cider and pay him. And
yeah.
It was there on the porch rail.
Yeah, I can just still see the twinkle in his eye. And then right across the road from him, you know, was Fox's.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he still lives there. Can't say his name either, but Fox, Clayton.
Clayton Fox.
Uh-huh. And he still is there. But when I went to school, it was just the brick building. But they built the Wade Hall while I was in school. So that was really something. And I don't know if that was Mrs. Wade from Elgin that donated money, a lot of money toward that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure that why, you know, to Ember, but I'm sure that was what happened, and they named it after.
Must have been a reason.
Yeah. And, a lot of changes there, and they're talking now about tearing that down, too. Did it come in the paper or something?
Seemed to tear everything down.
Oh, gosh, it's, yeah.
You don't keep the things that you remember.
Well, they always say the mortar isn't any good in these brick buildings. The mortar is no good, like
the high school here in LeGrand.
Yeah. And but the sack, they didn't say that.
No.
And they couldn't say that. They had a heck of a time tearing it down.
Remember, they put a caterpillar up on the top floor.
Oh, they
did. And tore it down from the top floor by floor.
That was in those pictures, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
And we saw that at one of the reunions,
Really.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's sad.
The changes that they've had.
And that was a nice restaurant in there. I can remember going there. Yeah. It was one of the nicer. By the way, we went to the Elkhorn yesterday for lunch.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it is, the dining room is really pretty.
Good.
And I sure hope they make it a success, because it's a nice, really nice dining place to go. Not, you know.
Well, he wanted to compare it to the Haynes Steakhouse. He wanted to have a good place to eat in LeGrand.
Yeah.
So
well,
it'd be nice if he's successful.
Even lunch was not sandwiches or soup. Mm-hmm. And but three of us got the hors d'oeuvre. And it was asparagus with cream cheese and ham slice wrapped around it. Mm-hmm. And there was four of them. And I said, my goodness, that's a lunch. It was our lunch. And she said, well, we're thinking of putting that on the lunch menu.
Uh-huh.
Because it was it cost as much as the shrimp salad, which was like this. And it was... That was $5.95, and I think the shrimp salad was. Mm-hmm. But we expected to pay a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sandwiches are about $5, and I don't think you can hardly get by anymore.
Hamburger at Denny's could be as much as $7.
Is that right? Yeah, so I really hope they can make a success of it.
Well, I hope so, too.
Yeah.
In the old days, they had the Liberty and the State Theater and the Granada Theater. And we all went to China Mary's.
That was the first place we went out to eat. And, we ordered hamburgers. And Walt poured ketchup on his plate. And I thought, that kind of uncouth. Well, I learned that was pretty good. To put the ketchup on your plate and then give it. Oh, and I was so green. Oh, gosh, I was so green.
Well,
I didn't have sisters, you know, and raised on the farm. And at the first grade, I was just scared to death. And I don't, you know, what are you scared of? But, you know,
Well,
I just hadn't been out in the world very much.
Living on the farm, did you come to Le Grand much?
No. Dad tells in here how long it took in the early days.
Uh-huh.
And about going across the mountain. My mother was from Walla Walla and she got homesick. And going across the toll gate and they fell asleep and the horse stopped. Just stopped and they woke up and finished. They left at, I think it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon and got there the next morning. And stuff like that. But no, I was tickled pink if something broke down on the farm. Daddy had to go in town. Boy, I got ready real quick to go in town. And I can remember him giving me a dime or a nickel or something, and I bought little round perfume. The bottle was round and the top was black square. And that's what I'd spend my money on. I probably could get it for a dime.
Uh-huh.
But I never wore makeup. My mother didn't like makeup. And I was in several plays in high school because I think the only reason was I could smear on that makeup and I loved it. Bill, and one time Daddy and Bill and I don't think Dick was, Dick might have been, but was in a county or a PTA or some kind. All of us was in a play together out there. And my mother said, I just don't know how you can do it. She was more timid. I told Patty, I said, after she asked me, I didn't hear the sermon very good. I kept reminiscing during the sermon and thinking back and that it was a good life.
Well, how much has Bill's farming changed from when your dad was farming in the early days?
Oh, my goodness. Now, he has a cab that's all enclosed. Mm-hmm. And that, now, other than that, I don't know, but he's changed a lot. I know there have been lots of changes, but I'm not close enough to what he does.
Well, he raised grass seed.
Oh, and that, yes, and we, Daddy had, well, he raised wheat, and they, what they put them upright, tied them up.
Shocks.
Mm-hmm. Shocks. I tried to do that, and it was a little heavy. I didn't last long doing that.
Uh-huh.
1 year, the front of the house, and I don't know how many acres that is, he had watermelon.
Cool.
And this isn't watermelon country. I don't know how it came out, but one of the natives in Ember, one of the preacher's kids,